Good morning, and welcome to Unifin's third quarter 2017 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of i-advize Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Unifin Financiera's earnings call. This morning, Unifin's senior management team will discuss the company's third quarter 2017 consolidated results for the press release issued yesterday. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings release, please contact the investor relations team at Unifin or i-advize in New York at 212-406-3691 to obtain a copy immediately. Prior to introducing our management, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call. These do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, the forward-looking statements are based on several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. Thus, we ask that you refer to the disclaimer located in the earnings release prior to making any investment decision. We are very pleased to have with us today from Unifin, Mr. Sergio Camacho, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. David Pernas, Investor Relations Officer. Thank you for your attention. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Sergio Camacho for his presentation. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafael. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for joining us today. As always, we appreciate your interest in Unifin. With a little more than 2 months before the year ends, we are confident that we are on the correct path to achieving our annual goals. During the third quarter of this year, macroeconomic uncertainty continued to be present in the Mexican and international markets, particularly as a consequence on ongoing NAFTA negotiations. Notwithstanding this volatile environment, Unifin posted record results. This was a result of the implementation of several strategies throughout this and the past year, such as increases in active rates across our range of products, an increase in the volume and operations, and the shielding of our financial liabilities. We are certain that the Mexican market is strong and that the resilient SME sector will continue to be unwavered by the macroeconomic environment. Nevertheless, we will continue to be prudent as we remain a viable and successful company in the long term. During the third quarter, and aligned with Unifin business strategy, we executed an important transaction in the local market. On September 19th, 2017, the company issued the largest leasing securitization ever in the Mexican market for 3.5 billion pesos. This transaction not only provided the company with additional available funding to support our growth, but also provides further shielding of the balance sheet from any volatility since the transaction was executed at a fixed rate, reaffirming the market's and investors' confidence in the company and in Mexico. This issuance received a AAA rating by both Standard & Poor's and HR Ratings. At the close of the third quarter, the company debt maturity profile improved to a weighted average maturity of 57 months. 86% of this debt is at a fixed rate, while only 14% of the debt remains floating. This mitigates any rising interest rate impact. In addition, all of our U.S. dollar-denominated debt is fully hedged. Also, as part of Unifin's prudent risk management approach, over the last 12 months, Unifin has raised both in local and international markets close to $1.4 billion. Furthermore, we improved our financial flexibility to nearly 17 billion pesos, consisting of authorized bank credit lines, approved programs, among other facilities. To summarize, the company is extremely focused on protecting its balance sheet from any reference rate hike and market volatility. It has also focused on increasing its debt maturity profile to avoid any refinancing risk, always taking into consideration our pillars of prudence and sound financial health. Now, let's discuss the financial results. The total revenue increased 46% in the third quarter to 3.7 billion pesos compared to 2.6 billion pesos in the third quarter of last year. and to 10.1 billion pesos in the first 9 months of 2017, compared to 6.8 billion in the same period of 2016, a 48% increase. This was comprised of operating lease income growth of 48% and 64% higher interest income compared to the third quarter of last year. Interest expense rose by 88% year over year. This growth is explained by higher financial liabilities to support our growth and also by reference rate increases of 230 bps during the last 12 months. At the close of September 30th, only 14% of our outstanding debt remained denominated in floating rates, while 86% was fixed. UNFIN nominal financial margin rose 46% year over year, a 24% margin. This growth is in line with the total revenue growth. Administrative and promotional expenses improved and expenses declined to 5% of total revenues compared to 7% in the third quarter of last year. This improvement was a direct result of the company cost control policy in addition to a benefit of 63 million peso reduction, 44% million pesos net on income tax, as a consequence of a non-recurring effect related to an excess VAT provision of one of our subsidiaries. Said figures bring us to an operating income of 652 million pesos, which represents a 63% increase compared to the third quarter of last year. This result reflects a higher operating efficiency and the non-recurring effect on our operating expenses. Consequently, Unison reached a consolidated net income of 572.34 million pesos, which represented a 60% increase. In the first 9 months of the year, Unison net income reached 1.3 billion pesos, a record figure for the company. Let's move on to our operations. Leasing origination rose 21%, while the operating lease portfolio balance grew 55% to reach over 30.6 billion pesos in the third quarter of 2017. Factoring operating volume remained flat, but at the close of the third quarter, the factoring portfolio stood at 2.2 billion pesos. Lastly, our loans experienced an 120% rise in operating volume year over year. As of September 30th, auto loan and other loan portfolio balance increased by 35% to reach 4.8 billion pesos. In terms of the balance sheet, the total loan portfolio experienced a 45% year over year increase to 39.3 billion pesos. Total loan portfolio consists of a current loan portfolio of 9.9 billion pesos, plus of balance sheet accounts of 29.1 billion pesos and a non-performing loan portfolio of 281 million pesos. Later brings us to an NPL ratio of 0.7% with an allowance for loan loss coverage of 100%. Total assets for the company increased 39.5%, mainly as a result of the growth in the net portfolio, net fixed assets and cash equivalents. On the other hand, financial liabilities rose by 52% due to the growth of the year-over-year operation. As aforementioned, Unifin greatly enhanced its debt profile by extending the maturity of the debt to 57 months, but also by fixing the rate at a large part of the debt. Return on other assets at the close of the third quarter was 3.5%, while return on average equity improved to 29%. Despite our record net income figure, the operating asset growth, in addition to a negative impact of the mark-to-market valuation of the derivatives with hedging purposes, resulted in a capitalization ratio of 11.5% at the end of the period. Excluding the valuation of such hedging accounts, the capitalization ratio of the company would have been 12.4%. Unifin financial leverage ratio increased to 3.7 times at the close of the third quarter, compared to 3.2 at the close of the third quarter of last year. The company's total leverage ratio at the close of the third quarter was 4.6 times. The increased leverage of the company is explained by the volume of its operations as well as the variation in the equity tranche of the hedging derivatives registered in the shareholder's equity. This quarter, Unifin's steadfast results were driven by our strategies implemented a few months ago. While ascending the significantly underserved SME sector, it is important to highlight that, similar to prior quarters, Unifin approved on average below 40% of client applications. We expect additional portfolio growth generated for our excellent track record in delivering financial solutions to our clients, our strong backlog, the opportunities identified by our business intelligence team, and the networking abilities of more than 200 sales office representatives. By the end of the third quarter, Unisyn achieved a healthy and diversified portfolio. The company has more than 7,000 clients, none of which represents over 1.4% of the total portfolio. Similar to prior quarters, around 80% of our clients have approved credit lines for up to 7.5 million pesos. The client breakdown is spread across various economic zones and geographic sectors, since it is vital for Unisyn to continue having an ample diversification in terms of clients, economic sectors, and geographic zones. Wrapping up, this quarter was a successful on many fronts, as we are particularly clear that our prudent risk management continues to be part of the solid strategy to which we are committed. Our aim is to take advantage of the opportunities in the financial market, as well as a stable business environment, to ensure that we make the soundest strategic decision possible for the long-term health and benefit of our company and its shareholders. At Unisyn, we remain optimistic about the company's future. We will keep on striving to reach greater results while executing our strategies, thus remaining steadfast in our position as one of the leaders in the industry. Thank you again for your attention. At this point, we are ready for your questions. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that's star and one to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And we'll take our first question from Carlos Rivera with Citigroup. Your line is open.
Hi. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. My first question is if you could give us an update about the alternatives to strengthen the capitalization ratios. Are you still considering follow-on or the perpetual bond, or are you more inclined now for a strategic partnership? And if that was the case, would you be thinking about a change in control in the structure of Unifin or not? And I'll ask my second question after. Thank you.
Hi, Carlos, and thank you for being here with us. As we have stated on the last conference call, and actually as we have addressed to the market recently, we continue analyzing different alternatives regarding what can be a strategic alliance that can maximize the potential from Unifin. In spite of that analysis, we are also analyzing, as you mentioned, either a follow-on or a hybrid bond. We are going to get a final definition perhaps this quarter, but what I can tell you is that you're going to hear from us very soon.
Okay. And in the part of my question related to the potential partnership, is the issue of changing control still is on the table, or have you ruled out any possibility in which, even on a partnership, you would like to retain the control as the structure it is right now?
I would say it is not on the table because, as we are aware, one of the strengths of Unisyn has to do with its management. The results that we have been showing to the market, particularly since the IPO, have been very good, with a very excellent track record. Therefore, management continues to be a key on Unisyn results, and we are not expecting any change of control.
Okay, great. And for my second question, I just wanted to get a little bit more details about the one-time thing that you mentioned, the $63 million benefit related to the VAT provision. So in what subsidiary was this occurring, and what gave rise to this provision, and what made you release it now? Just to get a little bit more details there. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, this type of provision is explained since one of our subsidiaries is considered an exempt taxpayer for VAT purposes. We, the company, on a conservative approach, record this VAT resulting in an expense, OPEX, to Unifin Financiera. Once we receive a formal opinion We made the proper adjustments reflected in this quarter, and that's why we're recording that as a one-off.
Okay, but is this something that could arise in the future, or about this conservative provisioning?
It's only one time off. No, of course in the future that is not going to be recorded anymore as an expense, and we're going to have that, let's say, the proportional benefit each quarter. No.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for the answers.
And we'll take our next question from Gabriel Nobrega with UBS. Your line is open.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. My first question is regarding leasing growth. We saw during the quarter a deceleration in your leasing origination. I just want to get a bit more color of what's happening. Maybe are you becoming more cautious, or do you feel that your clients are maybe having less of an appetite due to a possible volatile year in Mexico? And I'll make my second question afterwards. Thanks.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question again, please? We were not able to hear properly.
We saw that your leasing origination actually decelerated in this quarter facing the previous quarter. I just want to get a bit more color on what you were seeing and why this deceleration as well. Thank you.
Well, actually, we're not seeing a deceleration on the requests from our clients. As a matter of fact, of course, every time on a percentage basis, it's going to get tougher, no, because of the base of comparison. But I would say that we continue, of course, with our conservative approach, always putting in first the financial health of Unifin. But I will not comment any particular points on a lower origination rate. No, we continue to see a very strong and solid backlog. As a matter of fact, it improved over the last quarter. So we're confident that we will continue generating origination as the way that we have used it.
All right, that's clear. Thank you. And my second question, it's also related to your tax rate, to your effective tax rate. We saw that it was well below other quarters, and I just want to understand what's the reason for this. Is the main reason for your lower effective tax rate on the back of this one-off that you have in your OPEX? Thank you.
I would say that, in recent quarters, the tendency over the portfolio's asset mix, no? Have been more focused towards, let's say, other type of equipment such as machinery and industrial equipment. And as you know, these assets have a significantly different accounting depreciation rate vis-a-vis the fiscal depreciation standard, no? So by having this focus on assets different than transportation equipment, we generate a deferred tax, no, that mitigates or somehow impacts the effective tax rate that the company has been paying. This is going to have variations on a quarter-to-quarter basis, but that's it.
All right, that's very clear. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Alonso Garcia with Credit Suisse. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is actually a follow-up on the previous question regarding the tax rate. So what is the level that we could think of as a recurring tax rate for the company, maybe for the full year 2017 and for the coming years? And my second question is regarding the coverage of the NPLs currently at 100%. What is the level that we should think of as sustainable? Because currently it is below the level of previous years, now 110, 111 at the end of 2016. So what is the level that we should expect going forward for the NPL coverage ratio? Thank you.
I think that the expectations and the daily work that we perform at Unifin has to maintain these NPLs below the 1%. In that regard, we are also committed to have 100% reserve on that NPL estimation. Regarding the tax rate, I think that mid-20s can be an ongoing figure. If you see the year-to-date results basically are on that level, but as David mentioned in the previous answer, we may have a variation quarter over quarter depending on the mix on the assets we are leasing.
Thank you.
And once again, it's star and one to ask a question. We'll take our next question from Isidro Arrieta with Neuberger Berman. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for the call. Just a follow-up on the update on the negotiations with a partner or a potential follow-on. Those negotiations, when can you expect to have something ready for the market to announce something like, is it a month, is it the next quarter? If you can give an update on that. And then the second follow-up is on the allowance and the NPLs. If you can comment a little bit on asset quality trends, where can we see NPLs in the next months? If you see a negative trend there, and if allowance might be closer to 100 like right now, or go back to what you guys had in 2014, around 125%. Thank you.
Hi, Isidro, and thank you for being with us. As we have addressed to the market, we continue analyzing this. And regarding what can be the good timing for an answer, if you recall, on April, we made like a formal commitment to our rating agencies regarding improving our capitalization rate. In that point of time, we said that we have like a 12-month time frame. So, of course, we're getting close to that. So, particularly answering the question, I would say that you may have an answer on this quarter, or at least on the first quarter of next year, depending on those analyses that we're carrying out as we speak. Now, getting back to the NPL estimation and provision, we are committed to maintain 100% on that. So you can expect that will continue going forward, because it's something that we are committed to.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Chelsea Colon with TIAA Investments. Your line is open.
Hi, and thank you for the call. I just have a couple of questions. What would be the capitalization ratio without the one-off VAT benefit that you saw in the quarter? And then my second question is, where do you stand in terms of unencumbered credit portfolio over unsecured debt, that ratio?
Hi, Chelsea. This is David. So as to the first question, the number of capital or the metric of capitalization ratio, without taking into consideration the one-off effect, would be 12.4%. I don't know if that's the figure you were looking for.
If you're referring to this one-time effect, the negative impact that we have on our derivatives will be 12.4. If you're thinking about this one-time effect of $44 million, it really doesn't change the number, no?
Okay, got it.
And what was the second question? What was related to?
Regarding the unencumbered assets, no. We always try to keep. Given different covenants that we have, specifically on the bond side, no. We refrain more specifically to the fixed charge coverage ratio, which is the limitation on incurrence of additional indebtedness, no. In addition to that, if the company does not comply with that ratio, we have several baskets that we can approach, no, to gather new funding. I would say that the metric to unencumbered assets should remain as pretty much as you have been seeing in recent quarters, no.
And if I can ask one more question. Can you explain why the factoring portfolio kind of decelerated in growth this quarter? It was pretty much flat quarter over quarter, I believe. Is that a change in the market or in your strategy? or is it just a kind of one-off for this quarter?
I think it's a mix of the three things that you mentioned. Of course, when we see some volatility in the market, we get on this conservative approach that we have, that is something that characteristic from us, to be a little bit more tough on our credit approval. In that regard, we strengthen our policies in factoring particularly, but also we have some one-time also of clients that only did one operation on the last year, let's say compared to last year, and they decide not to continue doing that operation. So it's a mix, but what I can tell is that we strengthen a little bit our credit policies in factoring.
Okay, thank you. And we'll take our next question from Sumo McCurkey with Mizuho. Your line is open.
Hi, Sergio. Hi, David. Good to talk to you. Just in terms of the NAFTA impact, just wondering, when we had last spoken, you mentioned that you were a little more cautious on the agricultural sector and taking some preemptive actions. Just wondering if there has been any further thoughts or steps you're taking in case NAFTA negotiations don't go as favorably for Mexico. So that's one. And then second question, just in terms of, your thoughts on election risk and overall, what are the main kind of concerns you have? Because the FX at least seems to be indicating there's more nervousness towards Mexico as of late. So just how you're preparing for that environment. Thank you.
I think that the best way to prepare ourselves has to do with continuing things as we have done in the past. With all the prudence and being very, very keen on our risk management approach. Nevertheless, say that, as we mentioned, we were a little bit more prudent on agriculture, not in a sector that can be very easily affected if NAFTA doesn't go well. I think that what we have heard in the media and what we have heard from different analysts regarding NAFTA negotiations, they got a little bit tougher over the last month. But I think that everybody's aware on how important is the trade on this part of the world, no, with regarding NAFTA. We are expecting to have a different NAFTA somehow. And in that event, I think that the peso has already made that adjustment. And that's what we have seen, the depreciation of the peso over the last days, no? Because of this uncertainty and somehow this compensation of what can be a possible outcome on NAFTA. In that regard, we continue with our, as I said, with our prudence, with our risk management approach, and the best way to protect ourselves has to do with the diversification of the portfolio. As I mentioned, we do not have any concentration on any geographic sector, nor industry, nor client, and we will continue working in that environment. So that's what I can tell you regarding the NAFTA, what we have been preparing ourselves to face up.
And just regarding election risk, for the any, let's say there's an adverse impact in terms of AMLO and just what are your thoughts in terms of the sector and your business risk?
I think that it continues to be a little bit early, no, to have a view on the elections for next year, since only AMLO is what can be the definite candidate from Morena, and we haven't seen the formal candidate here from the Frente Democrático or the PRI or whatever other form that you may quote. It's too early, but I would say that in the event that AMLO wins, the sector that we are focused, which is the SME sector, will continue to be resilient since a sector that is more focused on the middle class. So we are not anticipating any negative effect, no matter who wins. But once again, I think it's too early for us to see a clear view on what is going to be the electoral overview or view for next year.
Thank you.
And once again, it's star and one to ask a question.
At this time, there are no further questions. I'd like to turn the call over to Sergio Camacho for any closing remarks.
Well, thank you all for your trust and interest in Unifin in participating in this call. Once again, I want to remind you that David's team is always available for answering whatever questions you may have. Please do not hesitate in contacting us. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you very much and have a good day.